Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
Aveline, you feel like the world around you fall away, and you feel like you're in two places at once, and it's like a lucid dream where you know that you're dreaming, but it feels so real for a second. And you are surrounded by an unfamiliar landscape. As far as the eye can see are strange plants, strange creatures, some of whom are huge, even bigger than this dinosaur right now. And in the distance, you see the ocean, and you see a massive blazing fire fall from the sky into the ocean, not too far from the shore. And then you hear in your head, Quaris, and you know that it's your name. Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I'm your dungeon master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are five dogs being walked in tandem by one really frazzled dog walker who did not know what they signed up for.
I'm Maya Esming, and I play Windswept Palm, Air Genasi Gnome Rune Fighter, and I'm that one pit bull that just, like, sits down and then you can't get her to get back up again. You just can't.
The worst.
I appreciate you for not saying Pomeranian.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm Phil Arevalo. I play Kit Marpolo, Water Genasi Monk. And Kit is definitely a pest control beagle who failed out of training because he got too anxious and alerted on everything.
Oh.
Hello, I am Jesse B. Kohler, and I'm Fink. And if you don't know who that is, what are you doing? Go back to the first episode. What? You're in the wrong place.
No. Go back to episode one.
Why are you here?
I am Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Yavri Skywatcher. Just a whole pack of huskies, just like eight huskies, coming straight for this dog walker, and they're going to get so tangled with all of the other dogs. Mm.
I like that the prompt was you were a dog and you were like, no, I'm a pack of huskies. Yeah,
I'm actually not with this dog walker. I'm a different group of multiple dogs.
Jamie's building the world out. I appreciate it.
Because we've been doing such a good job of following the prompts so far.
And I'm Neta Marie Bochava, and I play Naraya Windswore, and you're a halfling wizard rogue. And I'm one of those Italian greyhounds with, like, very big, intense anxiety about being outside. I'm screaming a lot, but I am wearing a tiny sweater.
But tell us about your dog. Nice. Now that you've had a second to relax and think about a really nice, cute dog, let's get back into the terror.
Oh, no.
And it is now Nariah's turn.
Cool. So, this is terrible. It doesn't change what I'm gonna do. I'm scared. I'm rising up, not having a good time. I am going... How far away are we from the dinosaur right now?
Between 30 and 60 feet.
Cool, perfect. So I'm going to cast Shadow Blade at second level, because you win some, you lose some. It's concentration, and now I can do that because I'm not concentrating on haste anymore. So what happens is, as we're rising up, I, like, clearly panicked, just do a gesture, and I whisper something, and a sword made of just shadow, just black, appears in my hand. That's my bonus action. As my action, I'm going to use said sword to attack the dinosaur, and it counts as a weapon which has the finesse and thrown properties. So I get to add my sneak attack to it, and I get to just throw it at it. So what I want to do is just summon this and just fucking javelin it over at the dinosaur. In a perfect world, I am aiming for the Porla pouch, and I'm trying to cut it open.
Ooh. The Porla pouch.
But we'll see. And I believe I am doing that at disadvantage. Right?
Because you're frightened?
Because I'm frightened. Correct me if I'm wrong, please.
Are you? Yeah, you're frightened.
I am frightened, but do I do this, so all of this at disadvantage?
So,
cool. So this counts as a weapon that I'm proficient with, so I have +6 to hit. Oh, yeah. The lower of those was an 18. I rolled a 19 and an 18, so that's 24 to hit.
Get it, Nariah. Get it.
What kind of damage is that?
Good question. It is psychic damage. Because I am hitting it with shadows. And also I get to add my sneak attack. Because I am next to Aveline, who is my friend.
Okay, because you're doing, like, complex math, I'm going to tell you right now that it is resistant to psychic damage, so whatever it would be halved.
That's fine. Nikki did that because they know I have this, and I was excited to use it, and that's fine. Honestly, that's fine. Aww.
I thought it was because we had sort of discussed it being maybe not the smartest.
Well,
just little dinosaur brain.
That's fine. So it's 13 plus 4 is 17, so 8 psychic damage. All of this for 8 psychic damage.
I thought it was beautiful.
But so badass.
Thank you.
It really was, and honestly, Nora, you summon this blade and you hurl it at this thing and you get it sort of right between the eyes, and what you find is, to the extent that you're still connected to your magic after it's kind of left your body, this attack that's...
Actually, I'll do this. This is going to be better for you because the sword is concentration, and even after I've thrown it, it still appears in my hand at the end of my turn. So.
Oh, yeah. So you feel it, and as it kind of stabs and then, I'm assuming, kind of flies back to you, like Thor hammer style?
It's going to dissipate and just return.
Oh,
it's shadows.
Okay. Well, as it dissipates, you feel it. Typically, your psychic blade tendrils its way into the brains of its victim and tries to get it to feel fear and terror and rage and sadness. And you ultimately find that there's not a lot in there to feel. There's not a lot of range of emotion. And I think as a result, it's not able to really find its footing as a spell. I think that's what happened there.
I'm gonna take my, like, my interaction speaking to just scream off the top of this building that we're being on, just, she's not only ugly, she's really, really, really fucking dumb! Yes, that is, you may! Also, we're still looking for an egg!
I knew it!
Amazing.
Thanks, Esther!
You dumb!
Okay,
Esther's farthest away.
It is your turn now.
Yeah, so the big bird is between me and the tower, right?
Yep, and it's like 20 feet away from you.
Okay, in theory, could I run around it? Like, is there enough area?
What's your movement?
Well, if I took a dash, I would have 60 feet.
I don't know if that's enough to get around it, honestly.
Okay, I am going to take the dash and, this is my other thought, run at it and try to slide through its legs.
That? I was gonna suggest you try that. I feel like that's an acrobatics check. Like, that feels acrobatic to me. An acrobatics check opposed by just, like, a dex check.
Okay, and...
for it to close its legs. That sounds terrible.
Technically, Fink is still...
legs on eggs.
Close your eyes. So Fink is still there, so advantage?
Sure.
You nice. Run past a stunned windswip while you do this.
It's gonna be great.
You're just gonna pop up, like, in front of me.
Yeah. Wow, I rolled so poorly. 11.
The dinosaur, actually... My feeling was it would close its legs to try and stop you, but I realized it's facing away from you, so it wouldn't see you coming, so I gave it disadvantage, and when I did that, it got lower than you, so you won. So you get... I'm gonna say it works.
Okay. amazing. So I was 20 feet, so that's 20 feet, slide under it. While I'm sliding under it, I want to use Quicken Spell to cast Burning Hands as a bonus action.
Yes.
Okay. Like literally sliding under it, giving it a fire crotch.
Yes. Be my fans. This is amazing.
Okay, so that's going to be 5d6.
This dinosaur's like, do I have a UTI?
She doesn't have the brain to consider it. Counterpoint.
That's true.
Right in the cloaca.
I was like, Megan, don't say cloaca. No one wants to hear you say it. I'm glad someone else said it.
You have to make a dex save, DC 16.
For Burning Hands?
Yeah.
All right. That I did save, yes.
Okay, so then that's 17 halved, so...
Eight.
Eight.
A lot that's of eight damage from everyone.
Yep. So Esther magic slides under the thing, points his hands up at its crotch, fire erupts from his hands. He grabs Fink, throws her onto his back, and so she's sitting with her paws on his shoulder, and then I'm going to keep running the remaining 40 feet towards the temple.
Cool. All right. I assume, yeah, so you make it. I'm going to say that's, like, the end of your movement, so if you wanted to, like, climb onto it, it would be another turn situation. But okay, Esther, it's a hell of a turn.
Thank you.
You just slid between the dinosaur's legs.
Running past Kit. We got to go. Kit, that way. That way. We got to go.
Hey.
Hi. Hi.
Oh, God. With an ugly dog in your arms that might not have a jaw. Windswip, it is your turn.
I can't do anything.
She's stunned.
Oh, because you're stunned.
I'm sorry.
Shit. I'm just here to watch.
How do you get out of being stunned?
It just ends at the end of her turn.
Oh, I've got you. Okay.
Haste is an upper, and then she just needs to recover a little bit.
She's just doing that, like, you know, like, I don't want to say little birds over her head because that's a bad omen, but little stars over her head. Little butterflies over her head.
Little butterflies. Aww. Little butterflies. Very cute. Yeah, you just feel stunned by that magic wearing off.
Do you and Maya think that coming out of haste maybe would have, like, repercussions for Windswip's, like, whole leg situation? That she's been, like, doing more on her turns?
Oh, shit.
For a while, probably. And part of the stunning coming down that you have to roll your physio dice or mechanic.
I think probably that's a good idea. Can you remind me next turn? Because I think when you come out of it.
Beginning of my next turn, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. That's a good call. That's a good call.
God, I fucked up. Right. I'm never going to haste her again.
Kit, it is your turn, and I need you to make a save, and that save is going to be a DC 18 con save.
Fail.
Okay. Let me see what that means for you.
Phil, you and I are on the same just get fucked energy right
now. Yeah, it's not great. You know, I watched a Scottish play last night, and I'm going to blame everything on, Scottish play.
Good.
That's what we're going to do.
There you go. All right, here's what happens. You take 12 necrotic damage because of this nasty smell. You are the only one who is close to it at this moment. You are also overtaken by a wave of nausea that temporarily blacks you out. And as you open your eyes, you are staring into a large puddle of ice that's like the size of a lake. And you can see your reflection in it, and you see a long beak and two golden eyes, and you realize that you're seeing the dinosaur, albeit not rotting and burnt and decrepit. And as you turn away from your reflection, you look around and you see your home is just frozen. Everything's snowy and cold, and you look back to a group of other dinosaurs that look like you, and many of them are tired and falling down, and some of them are just frozen solid on the ground.
Oh, shit.
Okay,
so I just sort of see it. I can't do anything.
Right.
I come back. Okay.
I'll say the last thing that you feel before you come back is just anger, just like pure, unadulterated rage. Everybody, it's Megan.
I don't know why I said my name like that. It's just one. It's all one word. Megan. There it is. Cool. I'll have to practice it some more. Anyway, welcome to the break where I tell you about different ways that you can help us out. If you so choose to, you know, do a little tiny extra thing for us aside from just listening, which is already so, so, so huge. And thank you for doing that. If you want to give us a good review and or 5 stars on your podcast platform, listening platform of your choice, that would be fantastic. Tell your friends about us on social media, whatever social media you are on / migrating to. I don't know anything about Mastodon, but it does seem, you know, thematically appropriate given everything that's going on in the show. But no, for now we're staying on Twitter, and all of our social media handles are on the show notes as always. We'll let you know if anything changes with regard to that. We do also have a Patreon. patreon.com/questladeplans, where you can get bonus content and help us keep the lights on and pay the cast and crew and all that. Our bonus content for the month of October is running a tiny bit late, as you can probably imagine, considering it's already November. We've been dealing with some health issues and crazy work, unexpected things. You know, life happens as it does. And we thank you so much for your patience, but we're going to get that to you as soon as possible. And also, I wanted to invite you to our Discord. That's bit.ly/QuestLadeDiscord or QuestLadePlans.com/Discord, where we share silly memes about dinosaurs and have a good time chatting about D&D and this show and other campaigns we're working on. And it's just a lot of fun. So join us there. And thank you so much for listening. And without further ado, back to the show.
How fucked up does it look in the real world right now?
It's a little hard to tell because it is so fucked up anyway by nature, but it looks really, really bad. Like, it looks markedly worse than it did before. There's a lot of bone visible that was not visible before.
Yeah. I think seeing that, like, seeing his home all desolate is just going to make Kit super angry. And he's just going to keep on wailing on it. So for his action, actually this time he's using like both Escrima sticks. So just mechanically that means I can use the D8 now. Cool. For damage.
Nice.
So does a 16 hit?
It does not.
Okay, I'm trying to think of what is worth it. It is worth it. Does an 18 hit?
It does not.
It does not. Okay, so I will roll, let me think about this now. Okay, I'll roll my second attack. Exact same roll. So none of that hits. And I will, so he goes, he has both, he's just like wailing on this thing, but just like not doing, I think he's like so angry that he's not like focusing on where like good places to hit, and sort of is like maybe getting like a little bit of the wing, but just not focused at all. After he misses the second time, he looks at his hands, looks at the monster, feels like he really can't do anything, looks back at the temple, uses his last key point for Step of the Wind to disengage, and uses his movement to run 45 feet back to the temple.
Yes.
All right, and I'm going to say that you managed to, if you want to sort of climb up that like little ledge that has now been formed because it's rising out of the ground, if you want to be on top of it.
Okay. I'll do that.
Oh, shit.
Okay, great. So you are now also on top of the temple. Okay. It is now the dinosaur's turn. I think it's still going to head over to the temple. It's going to once again spread its wings and fly like a beautiful butterfly over to the temple and land on it by everybody who's already there. And it's going to peck with its beak at...
What if it didn't peck at anyone, Megan?
Have you considered?
What if it pecked at itself?
I love that.
It's going to peck at Naraya, and let's see. It's going to miss.
Good.
Good for it.
Yeah, Naraya, you managed to dodge behind a column or something. And then it's going to make a swing with each of its claws, one each at
Kit and one at Aveline. A 24 is going to hit Kit.
God damn it.
Question about reactions. Now that Windswip is unstunned, can she use her reactions again?
She should be able to.
Yeah.
And we've established that the temple is within 60 feet, right?
It's like about 60 feet from you, yeah.
So she's going to use one of her runic shields, which is when another creature you can see within 60 feet is hit by an attack roll, you can use a reaction to force the attacker to re-roll the d20 and use the new roll.
Okay.
So she's going to use it on the 24.
It's a 20 this time. Not.
But I don't know why I bother. I'm trying so hard to help.
You keep trying to help Kit and none of it is working.
It doesn't.
Well, it does miss Aveline. I think it's thrown off by the fact that it's... Aveline, I'm going to say
What does it roll?
Like a 12.
Okay, good, because my AC is only 13, so...
Well, you're prone, but that doesn't matter, does it? Does it?
I feel like it has to.
I don't think it matters for
an attack.
Oh, it has advantage.
It does matter.
It has an attack roll against the creature has advantage if the attacker is within 5 feet of me.
I'm gonna say it is. I rerolled to a 14, so it is gonna hit. Sorry about it. So let me roll those damages. Let me roll those beautiful bean footages. That's gonna be 18 slashing damage for Kit.
Kit's down.
Kit.
Fuck. And 10 slashing damage for Aveline.
Imagine if just one of the reactions that I have spent on Kit worked. It's just one of my wounds.
Yo, that'd be sick. In that alternate universe.
That's crazy. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Those variants are doing great over there.
Wow.
Killing it.
They're having a great game.
Yeah. You see Kit get slashed once more, fall prone and unconscious. And Aveline, it is your turn again. Aveline, sorry. Before you do that, you are also overcome by the foul smell again.
Okay. I have to roll concentration for Aura of Life. And I rolled a 2, so the aura is down.
The aura is down. I need you to make a constitution saving throw of DC 18.
Nope, I failed.
What is the smell?
It smells like death.
But is it being cast?
It surrounds. It's just part of the fact that this dinosaur is dead, basically, and wasn't resurrected in the most pristine way.
Yeah, I failed the con.
Okay, so you're gonna take 17 necrotic damage. Are you still standing?
Yeah, but barely.
Okay. You are going to experience another one of those visions where it seems like the world is sort of double exposed for a minute. And this time you're not in that world you were in before with all the creatures. You're in, it almost feels like a liminal space. Like it's hard to describe what the form of it would be because you sort of look to it and it just disappears. It feels like you're nowhere. And you feel surrounded by so much anger, and you feel very alone and very defeated. And then you see the fog that surrounds you sort of break a little bit, or part a little bit. And you see a face, just for a second, bent over a book in a library, and you recognize that as Porla's face. And then you come to.
Okay, I am fucked up. I think I have to heal myself.
Please do, because you're the only person with any healing.
I think that's the right call.
Like, you go down, we're even more fucked.
Yeah. I'm gonna cure wounds myself at a second level.
Good.
13 hit points.
Nice.
Back out of single digits, so that's nice. And then I am up on top of this building, on the roof terrace of the temple that is coming up. Is Addy within 30 feet of the dinosaur?
Sure.
Okay. Cool. Then I'm going to command her to take her movement and do her flame seed attack against the dinosaur. Does an 18 hit?
Nope, it does not, unfortunately.
Okay, then I heal myself, and I get up from prone. I use half my movement to get up from prone, and that's my
And you summon your dick to your side, and even though the flame seed doesn't land, you now have a friend. All right, Naraya, I also need you to make a constitution saving throw, DC 18.
That I can probably do. I have plus 4. Yeah, 20-something.
Okay.
23.
Okay, you're just going to take 5 necrotic damage. It is that a disgusting smell, but...
Gross.
Grossly enough, you're kind of getting used to it.
That's fine. Cool. I forgot to roll about no longer being frightened at the end of my next, my previous turn. Can I do it now?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, 16 plus something.
Okay, great.
Cool. Fun. Fucking pissed, though. Like, I'm not frightened, but I am fucking pissed. What I am going to do is... Yeah, okay. I'm keeping my Shadow Blade. It's still summoned, because it's concentration. But I'm gonna just, like, lower it. And with my free hand, I'm just gonna hurl a Scorching Ray at this bitch. I have a plus 8 to hit. That's a natural 20.
Yes. Finally some good fucking food.
It's not great. It just means I do 4d6, so it's 12 plus 11.
Wait, no. What? It's base value for it?
No, God, it's base value 2d6. Oh,
okay. God, figure skating. Fucking
yeah, hard. So it's 12 plus... I rolled a 5 and a 6, so plus 11 fucking... 23 points of fire damage to this bitch.
Come on.
That does it, right? That's gotta do it.
I mean, it's at least it's not fucking resistant to it or anything.
It takes quite a hit from that Scorching Ray. It lights up and all of its feathers burn off. It's just a handful of rotting scaly flesh clinging to bones at this point. It staggers like it almost falls, but it's just hanging in there.
If anyone could fucking hit this thing and help me out a little bit, that would be fucking great! And then I'm gonna use my bonus action to fucking hide behind a pillar or something.
Sure. Okay, Aster.
Okay, so this thing, like, can I see it from where I'm standing at the bottom of the tower?
Yeah, because it's not that tall of a tower. Like, it's still actively rising. It's probably, like, 10 feet tall at this point, tops.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to do...
That's actually probably even too tall. Like, I think it's probably, like, a 3-foot, 4-foot situation. And then on top of that, in the center, is, like, the cupola.
So I'm just standing right there.
Yeah, you would have to like sort of do a little bit of a clamber to get up there, but it wouldn't be difficult.
Okay. How high is it from the ground?
It depends on what part you want to get on. The roof of the larger structure is like 4 feet off the ground, and then there's like a little gazebo cupola thing on top of that that's like quite a bit taller.
And that's where like Aveline and Naraya are? On the, like, higher part?
I don't
part.
Think you guys are on top of that. I think you're, like, next to it.
Yeah, we're, like, by the gazebo, basically.
Yeah, no one's on top of the gazebo. This gazebo itself is actually quite tall. It's probably, like, a couple of stories at least.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess I'm just confused if I'm, like, in the radius of this, like, thing. Smell, like, I'm just sorry.
You're not in the smell zone, splash zone.
Okay. I am going to cast... Okay, I think I want to Misty Step up to...
Yes, you do.
My friends.
Yes.
So that's 30 feet?
Yep.
Okay, so that's going to be my bonus action. And can I send Vink downwards into, like, exploring down into the tower?
Sure. I think that I had established that the openings that you could see into the tower were small, but Vink is also quite small, so mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to just send Vink downwards with the intention of go search for an egg.
Okay. Vink kind of leaps off the side and roots around a little bit till she finds sort of an archway that she can wiggle into. It's like half collapsed, but kind of definitely navigable for a doge. And yeah, she sort of has to crawl a little bit through a like a tunnel situation. So we'll come back to that, but she's in there.
Great. So does that kind of, does that... like command count as my action?
Yes.
Okay, great. So then I guess that will be my turn.
Okay, Winslet.
So first, we're gonna resolve that pain issue.
Right. I think coming out of being stunned and coming out of specifically haste, which is essentially doing more than you normally can, is going to mean a roll of the pain dice, and you are at a d12, right?
Yes, I think so. 10.
Okay, so you're good.
Hell yeah.
You managed to shake it off, even though you feel extremely overexerted. And it's also your turn.
Yeah, I shake it off because I have to get there. And I'm going to do that, I'm going to take a dash action because she's all alone, left out behind this temple stuff. All of her friends are there. The bird's there. She has to get over there. So she's going to use all of her movement and a dash action. And now, so she would probably be around where Esther was at the start of his turn. Is that close enough to melee hit the thing?
What's your melee range?
5 feet.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay, so see, I'm debating whether I use my action surge just to get there, or if that's not a good use of that resource. Question, is it because it's further in or because it's above her?
Both, but mostly farther in.
So levitate won't help either.
Right.
You're big though, right? Like...
Yeah, she's pretty big.
If you're big, can't you just fucking step on up?
It's not that, said I'm out of movement.
Yeah.
Unless I use an action surge. But then I'd be taking dash as my action. I couldn't attack. So it would just be to get there.
Where is Kit lying unconscious? Are you at the temple or on the ground?
I think that I had enough movement to like get
okay,
up.
Okay, so you're
So I think you're kind of near like Aveline and Nariah.
Okay, so Windswip doesn't need to like pick you up on her way. You're not down. Okay.
Do you want to be away from the situation?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean he's down, so I guess you would just have to sort of
Okay. So here's what I'm gonna do then. I'm gonna use the action surge. And I'm also going to bonus action Zephyr Strike, which means that my movement doesn't provoke opportunity attacks. So Windswip is going to use the dash action to just get those few feet up to Kit, pick him up, and then back on out of there as far as she can go with the rest of her movement.
You're like pretty large, so I'm going to call, I'm just going to call that a free object interaction.
I am an object.
So to objectify Kit, but
so that neither of them we're not in melee range, so we're gonna back out away from the temple, away from the bird.
Yeah, there you go. All right, you've gotten out of the way.
All right.
Okay, cool. Kit, it's your turn. I think you're unconscious, so
I get to make a death saving throw
in Big Windswip's arms.
That's poetic, but please don't fail.
That's a fail.
Is it a natural one?
No, it's not that
okay.
bad.
Jesus, Megan.
I want to know what the numbers
that's
are.
You sounded pretty gleeful there, Megan.
I didn't.
There's a lot of joy.
That sounds like you want a horrible voice. Us.
I'm sorry. I'll try and lower my register. Kit, you open your eyes and you find yourself in a hallway, and you're not really sure where it starts or ends. It's kind of... You think about it and you realize it's the hallway in the building that you guys were just in, like that main administrative building of the Adventurers Guild. And as you kind of come to your senses and things start to unfuzz a little bit, you see two familiar people at the end of it and you recognize their voices, and it's Chiron and Brex are just standing, leaning against a doorframe, having a conversation, and you take a few steps toward them.
Terrible.
Don't go into the light. Leave your
friends.
Don't
fucking go join that conversation.
Yeah.
All right. It is now the dinosaur's turn, and here is what you guys see. You guys see her struggle to stay on her feet.
Good.
And you see she has already the one broken ankle from Windswip's hammer. You see her stumble and kind of fall to, not that birds really have knees, I don't think, but kind of, you know, crumble a little bit. And then you see this massive dinosaur shake like a wet dog. And I need everybody to give me a DC 15 deck save. Actually, not everybody. Just Esther, Nariah, and Aveline.
Does it matter that I'm hiding?
I'm behind.
You can have
at least partial cover.
You can have it. Yeah, you can have advantage.
Natural 20.
Hell yeah. 17.
Okay.
So that's a 23.
Am I still close enough for Fink to give me
advantage? If you can explain to me how she would give you advantage on this.
Oh, I don't know. To be perfectly frank, I don't understand fully how advantage with familiars work.
I mean, do you think maybe she would, like, have dog reflexes and pull you out of the way of whatever? I think that I buy that. So sure, advantage is fine.
Well, no, because I've sent her off. Like, we're in.
Yeah, she's
areas.
Going through that.
Oh,
off
then
way.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, then no. Then no.
What dex you said?
Yep, DC 15.
I got a 14.
Fuck.
All right. So, as this dinosaur shakes and shakes, the three of you are hit with these chunks of disgusting wet flesh that's like scaly and gross, and it burns when it hits you, and I'm gonna roll damage on that.
Come on.
All right, Aveline and Nariah, you guys are gonna take 16 acid damage.
Oh,
fuck. On a natural 20 with hiding, Nariah goes down.
Yeah, and then Esther's gonna take 32 acid damage.
Esther, how are you doing, hun?
Oh, I'm down.
Fuck,
I was at 23.
So, Windswept and Aveline, please save us.
Oh, we thought we would be the first ones gone, and yet we're the last ones standing.
Here's what you see, and I will say that, Windswept, you're far enough away that you might not be getting the full effect of this. What you see in the distance is this massive skeleton. It is pretty pristine and white. And Aveline, from close up, you can see that a piece of this flesh that has kind of come at all of you, a lot of it has also eaten through the floor beneath you, the stone floor, and has started to make these cracks and crumbling bits. And you see this dinosaur take its beak and move it so fast that it's like a drill, and it starts drilling down into the floor. And that is where we will end.
No.
I'm not going to fucking sleep tonight. This is fucking awful.
I'm sorry.
That might have been the grossest creature I've ever fought in D&D.
Good. This is not good.
That imagery was horrific.
The poor little pouch is pretty horrifying.